I don't come to church for the emotion, but I do for an experience. And what I'm experiencing today is God's presence moving and speaking, whispering into our ears. Have you picked up the challenge to hear the voice of God in 2018? In order to hear the voice of God, we have to, again, let me repeat what I said last week. We have to make an intentional, conscious effort to hear God's voice. We have to seek. I believe that God wants to speak to you today. When's the last time you heard him? In just a minute, we're going to be reading out of the book of Acts, the first chapter. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 11. And if you have not, I don't know how you could be in this place and have not heard God's voice today. But if you have not heard God's voice today, the best and most amazing way to begin to sensitize yourself to hearing God's voice is to be in his word. His word is true. It's sure. He will speak to you. Hearing the voice of God. Last week we talked about Jesus after he had risen from the dead, before he ascended, during that 40-day period, that 40-day span of time where he had been ministering to, speaking to the disciples and to the others that he was coming across, the believers that believed in him. During that time, they were getting an understanding that they were going to be without Jesus personally, that he was no longer going to be present with them. He was not going to be able to pat them on the back when they had a tough day. He was no longer going to be able to say, don't say that way anymore, and mentor them in how they talked about the gospel of Jesus. He was not going to be there around the campfire at night, just kicked back, sharing the stories of the day. He wasn't going to be there, and they were fearful. There was this mindset, what do we do? When are you coming back? When are you going to establish a kingdom? When are you going to do that? When we need you here. Uh-oh. Gabe? I'm glad you stayed there because that is not working. Wait for it. What an appropriate place for it not to work. There are so many videos on YouTube and on Facebook that we are watching now, and some of them start out very slow and very boring. And so the vast majority of us, when we click onto somebody's video and it starts out very slow and very boring, we have a tendency to click off. Statistics tell us that on a video that doesn't capture our attention, within the first 2 or 3 seconds, we as users will click out and we'll go to the next one. And so now video producers have this tag that they put on the bottom of their video, wait for it, which tells me, okay, it is boring, it is dry, but it's setting up the story that is to come. Something spectacular is going to happen. Jesus is saying to his disciples, wait, something amazing is going to happen. If you've opened your Bible to Acts, the first chapter, we're going to look at verses 8 through 11. They read like this. But you will receive power from the Holy when the Holy Spirit comes on you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he said, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go to heaven." So now the disciples are standing there waiting. Two men in white appear and say, "Why are you standing there?" Jesus had set them up. Wait for it. Next slide. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." I don't know when the last time was that you actually recognized that the Spirit of God in your life is a superpower. Now, we're fascinated. We are fascinated with superheroes. This past week, I was down at Memory Care, and I was talking about superheroes, and I thought, maybe all of them wouldn't know some of the current superheroes. Maybe some of them wouldn't know all of... I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what age you are, you know about superheroes. They're all over. They're all over the internet. They're all over TV. They're in the movies. They're on our thing, on our products that we buy. They're on our placemats, our cups. They're everywhere. But there is one distinct kind of superhero, superpower, that I want to talk about this morning, and that's not the power of Superman. It's a different kind of power. It's an extrinsic power. Next slide. Captain America. He wasn't born that way. He wasn't born. He was given through experimental drug, through testing, he was given an extrinsic, external ability to have superpowers. Next one we have here, I'll tell you, how difficult is it to find? I was telling Pastor Jen and Pastor Kent on Friday, it's difficult to find a female superhero. Now, every bit of research that I did in preparing this sermon, I found that there is this massive push for more female superheroes, not just female Spider-Mans and female Supermans, but their own actual character. Now, here's Catwoman. Kind of weird, but her powers came externally, and you would have to watch various different movies to even come up with a theory as to how she got her powers, but I guarantee you she was not born with them. The next one is the Hulk. And we know that the Hulk was given his superpowers by gamma rays and experiments. And he was given this ability during anger, during fits of rage, during that high emotional moment to transform and to become powerful. And the more you watch those movies and the deeper you get into the theory of the Hulk, the bigger he gets and the stronger he gets and the more abnormal he gets, almost to the unbelievable stage. But Hulk received his powers extrinsically. The next one is the Invisible Woman. The Invisible Woman was in a starship, and there was some kind of rays, some kind of radiation that hit them as they were in outer space. And as a part of the Fantastic Four, she returned with the power of invisibility. And the next one, well-known, Spider-Man. Peter Parker, as he was in the laboratory on that tour, looking at those spiders, as one came down that strand, that single strand of spider web, got on his neck and bit him. He goes home, and a transformation begins to happen. And externally, he receives superhuman strength, the strength supposedly that in proportion to a spider. He's able to do all of those things. And then last but not least, the superhero that I want to show you this morning is me. boy, did I get a lot of comments. I put a disclaimer in your bulletin, but boy, did I get a lot of comments. It was fun to Photoshop this together. And definitely portrays somebody that I don't feel that I am. But in reality, you could Photoshop my head off of there and put yours on, and that would be a picture of who you are with the superpower, the Holy Spirit dwelling within. I love the flaming dove emblem, the logo on the chest plate of that uniform or that costume, symbolizing that it is a power, not of myself or not of yourself, but a power of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were in this quandary. They were in this position like, what are we going to do now? Our master, and they looked at him as rabbi. They looked at him as amazing, ultimate teacher to end all teachers. They fell at his feet. They worshiped and they lived and they breathed what he was taught. And now they realize that their master, their rabbi, is being taken away from them. And the disciples are beginning to freak out. And Jesus again says, wait for it. Wait for it. In the next slide, we find that Jesus is talking to them and he says this. You are going to receive power. Power that will be amazing. Power that will enable you to do exactly what I have called you to do. You will receive an internal power. Now, think about it this way. They were experiencing the loss of an external power because Jesus was there with them. They watched him rise from the dead just a few days before. They watched him as he entered rooms with locked doors. They watched him as Thomas put his fingers in his hands, in his side. They watched him. Before death, they watched him raise Lazarus from the dead and other people. They watched him heal people. They watched him bless people. They watched him do things that no one else could do. Wouldn't you be freaked out if that person in your life was leaving? Jesus said, you're going to receive power. You're going to receive power to be my witnesses. Beyond any calling that is specific in your life. This gift that we experienced as we watched these young ladies do this dance for us this morning is a gift. And it blessed us. But beyond the physical movement that we were able to experience this morning was the witness of who they were doing it for. When I speak, heaven help me if it ever becomes anything but the witness of who he is. When we sing, when we play an instrument, when we do whatever it is that we do, if it ever becomes anything but a voice for who Almighty God is, and that's just a venue in which we represent it. If it ever becomes anything but that, we've missed the voice of God. He said to the disciples, you are going to be my witnesses. That wasn't I have this power coming, and if you would like to be my witness, you can have it. No, he didn't say that. My power is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming to you, and you will have power to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of this world. You will receive it, and you are called to be my witness. I've asked you many times, what is your gift? What is your calling? And some of you have said, I don't know. There's the first one, absolute, without question. As a Christian, you are his witness. And however you communicate that may be completely different from anybody else. But the responsibility that God has given you stems out of that one directive. You are his witnesses. You are his witnesses. Then an amazing thing's happened in this next slide. How can you get a picture of that? I mean, how can you seriously get a picture of it? Jesus was taken up right in front of their eyes. Now, I talked about the miracles that they had seen Jesus do. I talked about all of the avenues that he had gone down and amazed them and surprised them and just tickled them to death. Almost like last week when I said the phrase, lean in, it just tickled me. I can't help. I can't stop saying it. They're standing there. They're watching as Jesus begins to come up off of this earth. I don't know why it would have been such a surprise. I don't know why it would have been such a, but they were completely, completely captured by that one moment. As Jesus began to rise into the heavens, they stared intently. Now, Scripture's clear where it says that he was surrounded and almost, well, to the actual point where he disappeared into the clouds. And I think that was the very first way God was saying, okay, stop looking. You have a job to do. There's something about setting, watching for something to happen that's just intriguing. Yeah, if you've ever been to the Old Faithful over in Yellowstone, you know that there is this complete circle around it, and people come and they gather and they wait. And I'll tell you what, Old Faithful is called Old Faithful for a reason, because it erupts or spurts on time every time. But you know what? We get down there, Pastor Joe and I, last time that we were down there, and I guess that was last time was the first time, but we went down there and we're gathered with this whole crowd of people and we got like 10 minutes. You know what we did? We watched it. Like, it's not going to erupt. The steam, that vapor is not going to burst up through that hole in the ground. But Glenn, 10 minutes before, it's Old Faithful is going to be faithful. I'm fixated on watching that hole in the ground like something weird's going to happen today. The disciples are fixed on the sky as Jesus is taken up and surrounded by the clouds. And then something really strange happened. I don't know how they snuck in. I don't know how they got in there. Two men dressed in white appeared beside the disciples. And I can just, this is how my brain works. They're standing there like elbowing the person next to him like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? Oh, Jesus just ascended. Well, he's not there. He has given you a task. He has given you a role. He has given you something. The next slide is a very personal one. It's time for us to. Now, that big chart board, I was reminded of Taylor when she was in staff meeting before she got another job, and she was taking notes for us, and she was writing on the chart board, and she was doing all of that so that we could capture the moment and have a record of what we were talking about, because we generally talk about way more things than we can remember, and we wanted to capture that. And I was just reminded, it's time for us to, and then pull out that chart board and what's on there. But the reason I said it's personal is because God has a specific call on your life. If you have embraced Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have received His Holy Spirit, He has gifted you with power to be His witness in some fashion or another, whether that be one way, two ways, a dozen ways, God has blessed you. What does that look like? It's time for us to, it's time for you to, it's time for us as a church to, it's up to you as a family to. You get the gist of that. Why in the world do I say we need to be listening to the voice of God? More than speaking, more than interrupting, more than our own research and our own directives, we need to be in that place where we can hear God say, this is what I have. Could you imagine? Now, this picture demonstrates this gentleman holding that board by one hand. But with his position, doesn't it look weird, that pen that's, doesn't it look out of position? It's one of the things that captured it. I mean, he doesn't look as though he's reaching clear across where that pen may be. He might be, but I don't see another hand. When I saw that, I thought, for Glenn, it's time for God to write my plan on my heart and on my directive. It's time to look, to listen, to hear. What is that directive? It ultimately boils back to this in the last slide that I have for us this morning. Love God, love people, and do something about it. Love God, love people, and do something about it. What are you going to do in 2018? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? What's your small group going to do? What's your big group going to do? What's your family going to do? What are we going to do? Jesus boiled it down to some very, very simple dynamics. The first and greatest command, love God, love others. And I will give you power to be my witness. You can be afraid. You can be scared. You can wonder if it's going to work for you or not. You can do that. I do that. But this I am sure of. Even as uncomfortable as it was for me to put my own face on your bulletin cover and in these slides this morning, even though it was a little bit like I would rather look like I'm more humble than that. That's who I have to believe that I am. I have to understand and know that through the Spirit of God dwelling in me, that I am more than a conqueror, that I have power unknown, power that has not been tapped yet, resources and authority that I haven't even tested the waters on yet. I have to believe that if God has empowered me to be His witness, He will always equip me. He will always give me the right gear to go with the superpower. Put your face on that. Take it home. Take your bulletin home and cut my face out of there and put yours behind it. Because He has created you. And then extrinsically, from the outside, Himself, the very third part of Almighty God, He placed that in your life. And it burns bright like the dove of fire on your chest. And if no one else sees it, you can still know it. As you step forward, as you draw close to him, as you accomplish that goal that he has given you. I wonder if you really, really today listen to the voice of God. And you might have already done this, but what if you haven't done it yet? What if you really, really listen to the voice of God and you heard him tell you, this is my plan. This is my purpose. I have given you power. I've given you authority. The greatest thing about external powers is they're only with you as long as the external power is with you. As long as it's in your system, as long as it's a part of who you are, draw close to him today. Draw strength from him today. Experience his Holy Spirit today. Hear his voice so that you can be a witness at home, in Seattle, in Washington, and to all the ends of the world.